We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 8th chapter, verses 37 to 45. I'll read verse 37. Satatadarishe vishvan jagat stasna chakam disha saridipati bhogoram svavyagnendatartam. When Krishna opened his mouth wide by the order of Mother Yashoda, she saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space in all directions, along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing wind, fire, the moon, and the stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky, and creation by transformation of Ahankara. She also saw the senses, the mind, sense perception, and the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for the living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw desires in different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. Mukam karati vachalam tangalam bhayate yakipantaman mande shivam nirachalinam om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuri chamyena tasamai shigare. So what do you remember from the last class? Yes? Krishna is very mischievous. Very naughty.
And you cannot catch him red-handed. Even if you catch him red-handed, he still finds a way to...
Yeah, even if you catch him, he finds a way to get out of it. He smiles. Yes?
He always gets away with murder.
Yes, he gets his way. What are some examples of how he got away with it? When he just smiles and they become stunned and they can't do anything. That's it. He just smiles at them and that's it. He just keeps eating in front of them. What's another way? Yeah, Madhavendra?
He told Prabhupada that if you do it again, I will appear as your husband.
Yes, Prabhupada caught him and he appeared as her son, and she said, if you do it again, I'll appear as your husband.
He said he needed to put water on the burns.
His hand was burning from his ruby bracelets. So he had to put butter, he had to stick his hand in the pot because of the burns. What else?
He's so naughty that he liked to catch bulls by horn.
Yes. Yes.
Play with fire and knives.
So many things.
Mother Yashoda would get worried, and he smiles and he enjoys those things.
Yes, he's having a good time. The parents are in great anxiety. Either they're in anxiety or else they're laughing like anything. It's hasiras. Yes, sir. Krishna Supini? Yes, Mukara and Yashoda were watching. Yeah, he's looking around fearfully, hoping nobody will catch him. How did he get into the house in front of the people? What did he do? Yeah, he let the calves loose and everyone's running after the calves and he slips into the house and steals butter. So now his next mischief is to eat dirt. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, because all these manifestations come from Govinda, they could all be visible within the mouth of Govinda. Quite astonishingly, Mother Yashoda was afraid because of intense maternal affection. She could not believe that within the mouth of her son such things could appear, yet she saw them and therefore she was struck with fear and wonder. So we see what is Yashoda's reaction to Krishna showing his opulence: fear and wonder. Remember her reaction when he started getting heavy. What did she do? He said, oh, he's got some disease maybe? Or, yeah. Yes?
I'm not sure whether he did it purposely. I mean, he wanted to come on the ground so he can fly with...
Fly with Trinavarta.
And he wanted to save life of...
Of Yashoda, right.
That's why he became so heavy, so she put him on the ground.
Yes. And her reaction was, she thought of Narayan for shelter, and then she had the Brahmins chant some blessings, some mantras. So we have this confrontation, we have a conflict here between Krishna's, her feeling of for Krishna as her beloved son, and then what she's seeing in his mouth. Such a conflict. Because she's a personification of Vatsalya Prema. And how can she see these things in his mouth, of all places? So this is quite different from when Arjuna saw his universal form. Mother Yashoda is seeing it one way. Arjuna, of course, he also had fear. What was his? He had a different fear, though. He said he was actually afraid for himself. Arjuna had a different fear. When he saw the universal form, it was quite different. It was a big one, too. It was not just in Krishna's mouth. It was huge. And it covered all the skies, and there was fire and so many things. And so Arjuna, he had a different... He had his Sakya Prema, but when he saw the universal form, he lost it. He became afraid, and the Aishwarya actually predominated. And he apologized that, you know, I'm sorry that I was treating you so friendly, like a friend. So the Aishwarya, in the case of Arjuna, minimized the sweetness of his loving Sakya Bhav. So for Arjuna, the Aishwarya defeated the Sakya, at least temporarily. But Yashoda's sweetness is going to defeat the Aishwarya. It's going to be different. She's very strong, much stronger in her love for Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that she saw the universe in Krishna's belly through his mouth. I think this is in the purport. Maybe not. But anyway, Vishnu Chagavati Thakur, he will explain that. Nectar of Devotion, it explains the emotion that Yashoda was feeling when she saw all the planets and the universe and everything in his mouth. Then her hair stood up on end. This is Nectar Devotion 28. She had her hairs all stood up on end when she saw the universe in Krishna's mouth. And so Prabhupada, he gave many lectures on this particular pastime in different classes. And he quoted one Vedic verse, Mahatoma Hiyan, and Anor Aniyan Mahatoma Hiyan. And Prabhupada said that this pastime explains this particular quality of Krishna, bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. And then he says, but of course, maternal affection did not diminish. And so he paraphrased Krishna. He's saying, okay, you want to see the dirt in my mouth? I've got the whole universe of dirt in my mouth. And so it was Prabhupada's explanation. And his mother is saying, I gave you sandesh and you're eating dirt? And he says, no, everyone's telling lies. We had a fight and everyone's against me, and that's why they're telling. They all became my enemy. And so what was her reaction? Of course, we'll hear in the next verses that what her reaction will be. According to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and even the prayers of Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter, she was seeing not in his mouth, but in his belly. She was seeing through his mouth to his belly, and that's where all the universes were. And why can we understand logically that all the universes should be in his belly? Why should they be there?
Lord Brahma says,
but also from our previous knowledge. Yes. At the time of creation, everything comes out from his belly. And time of destruction, everything goes back in. All the planets and universes rest. So they are in his belly. And in Markandeya Rishi, will experience that in the 12th canto.
So let's see what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says here on this verse. Krishna showed the variegated universe within which exist all the different forms of bodies. Tanau means in Krishna's body, but specifically in his belly. Through Krishna's wide open mouth, Yashoda saw all these marvelous things in Krishna's belly. She also saw herself along with her son and husband and Braj. Brahma's words indicate that this vision was of this particular universe. So she wasn't seeing all the universes, it was just this one. So one universe only. The universe was simultaneously inside Krishna's belly and outside as well by the inconceivable power of Yoga Maya. So that's quite amazing. It's all outside happening and it's also inside in his stomach. The vision of the Lord in the universe and universe in the Lord, which was meant for the Shanta Bhaktas, was shown to Yashoda, whose lotus feet are touched by the heads of the Madhurya Bhaktas. Upon attaining this amazing vision, Yashoda began to worry about her son. So again, if your child has the universe in his belly, must be something wrong with him. So verse 40, she will try to explain what she is seeing with her eyes. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself, is this a dream? Or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence? Or is it some mystic power of my child? So in the purport, Prabhupada answers all these questions. That it's actually, which one is it? Is it a dream? Is it Maya? Is it her intelligence or some mystic power? So what is the answer without looking at the purport? Krishna's mystic power, okay. So, we'll read the purport. Okay, maybe it won't be the purport. Why is it not a dream? What is her argument that it's not a dream? Let's see what if you read the purport, if you remember. Don't look at your computers or the books. And tell me, why is it not a dream? How did she convince herself? Yeah? She had her eyes open. I'm not dreaming. My eyes are open. I'm actually seeing what's happening. I'm not sleeping. But even when we're in our dreams, that's not convincing because our eyes are open in the dreams, too. I mean, but she's convinced.
Divine eyes?
Yeah, well, in this case, it's not what she's talking about here. Divine eyes. Okay, now why is it not Maya? Or Deva Maya. Why is it not an illusion? Yes?
I'm an insignificant woman, but my devas
can. Yes. I'm an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me into Deva Maya? Okay, the third argument, my own intelligence. Yeah?
She said she's not sick.
I'm not sick. I'm not crazy. She says, it's not possible my brain is deranged since I'm ordinarily quite fit to think. So I'm not crazy. Of course, if you are crazy, you wouldn't know it. But and she says, oh, no, I'm not crazy. Ordinarily, I think pretty well. Then this vision must be due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Garga Muni. So they're going back now to the words of Garga Muni, that he is empowered. I mean, that's how they take his words, that he's empowered by Narayan. So, often they'll think, okay, he's empowered, or they'll think there's a power from some other source. Maybe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not my son, not my Krishna. So this is, now Brahma explains, this is quoted by Jiva Goswami, he says, O Lord, although by the power of your inconceivable potency you appear to occupy a limited space within the land of Braj, you are nevertheless all-pervading. You directly show these two truths about yourself to your mother, Yashoda. So he looks like he's just in a very small space on her lap, but actually, how could he be? Because all the universes are in his stomach. How could he be just like on her lap? In one little space, if all the universes are in his belly. So this is was shown to Yashoda by Krishna right now. Although the whole universe is in you, you are still all-pervading. So this is quite an amazing thing that's happening right here. Krishna is showing it to his mother, but her mother is not getting it. She's not understanding that Krishna is all-pervading. How could he be? He's right on my lap. He's my child. Must be some disease or something. 41. Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for He is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. So who is she talking about here?
Narayan.
Narayan, not Krishna. She's thinking, yes, Narayan is so great. Narayan is God. He's always protecting my son so nicely. Must be because of my worship to him. So we'll go to the purport a little bit. Now, Prabhupada is addressing our situation here in the purport, how this applies to us, about 5 lines down. One should not try to understand the supreme cause by argument or reasoning. When we are beset by some problem for which we can find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer Him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. Now, even in Bhagavatam, we find cases where even devotees are in trouble and they see some other causes by argument and reasoning. What are they talking about here, actually? We should not try to understand the supreme cause by argument or reasoning. I remember in the first canto, there was such a case when the bull and the cow were discussing and they were asking the cow, well, what is the cause of your suffering? So what were some of the arguments given in that case?
The bull, actually the cow, was it the bull or the cow?
Both,
He reviewed quite a few different things.
Oh, it was the bull, yeah, it was the bull.
It's Devam.
Devam.
Destiny. It's karma. It's Atma. And then he told him, depending on which stand you are positioning yourself. And then the Yamaraj, the Yudhishthira, he said, well,
Parikshit.
He said that I can see that you are advocating the philosophy that says that whoever blames someone will also share the same blame.
They will share the same destination.
Destination.
As the one who.
So I can only surmise that you are Shri Yamaraj himself.
Dharmaraj, yes.
Dharmaraj, for putting up such a high philosophy.
So some of the reason is karma, destiny, kala, time.
The perpetrator
of action. Deva. Yes. So they don't, he says, so you don't want to tell what is the cause, actually. You don't want to say, and the real cause is Krishna. But actually, no, it's not Krishna. It's ourselves, our own turning away from Krishna. The cause of suffering is our separation from Krishna. So separation. So here it says, when we're in such a situation, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer Him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. So what are some other examples? So now Mother Yashoda is demonstrating for us what we shall do if some problem is coming and we don't know why. Why is there a problem coming? I don't know. We surrender, we offer obeisances. Who else says this? Any other references or any other places where this is? Yes.
Bhishmadev,
Mahajan.
First canto.
Yes, he says, what does he say?
He says, it is amazing to see how you are suffering, dear Pandavas. It seems like the Lord is unjust.
Yeah, it seems like the Lord is unjust. You're His friend.
And then he says that even great saints, Mahanti Kavayopi,
having all the reasoning and plans for the world. So the best way to do it, to act, is to just surrender to him.
Just surrender. Whatever happens, Prabhupada says, the original cause is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karana Karanam. Yes?
This is the suspicion of the event. When things are beyond our control, the things are different. Brahmanas, God.
Yes, the Brahmanas, the God. God. Worship the Brahmins, the Supreme Lord, and perhaps the cows. When something is beyond our control. So here, Prabhupada says, this was the means adopted in this instance. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mother Yashoda concluded that the wonderful things she saw within the mouth of her child were due to him, although she could not clearly ascertain the cause. Therefore, when a devotee cannot ascertain the cause of suffering, he concludes, Tena kampam susamikshamana punjana evat makitam vipakam hidvavapurbir viradhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayava. The devotee accepts that it is due to his own past misdeeds that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has caused him some small amount of suffering. Thus he offers obeisances to the Lord again and again. Such a devotee is called Mukti Padesa Dayapak, that is, he is guaranteed his liberation from this material world. Stated in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Sparshas Tukonteya Shitoshna Sukudukadaha Akama Payino Nityas Tam Sitik Shasabharata. We should know that material suffering due to the material body will come and go. Therefore, we must tolerate the suffering and proceed with discharging our duty as ordained by our spiritual master. So here Prabhupada is giving an added instruction for those who are devotees. What are the two instructions that Prabhupada is giving us? Tolerate the suffering and go on with your service. Tolerate. And then you will be eligible for liberation. So it will come, it will go. It will come, it will go. But we're always surprised when it comes. When the misery or distress comes, how is this happening to me? And what will I do to counteract this distress? And we start thinking and we start trying to do something. But actually it will come and it will go. So, how did Yashoda respond to something beyond her comprehension? Offer obeisances and surrendered. So where did Yashoda's mind go for shelter? Narayan. Now when we have some trouble, where does our mind go for shelter?
Krishna.
Oh, very good. That would be nice.
Devotees,
Krishna's devotees. Okay.
Our own resources
sometimes.
Material solutions. Forgetfulness.
What's that?
Forgetfulness.
Sleep. Eating. Sleeping. Mating. Defending.
Or trying to analyze. No, I have to.
Yeah, if you're an intellectual, then your intelligence will work at high speed. At least for me, I some problem. Wow, okay. 100 solutions. One of them should work.
Get help from the guru.
Yes, get help from the guru. But of course, you don't want your guru to ask him all these silly questions every time something happens. He expects you to also have intelligence. Yes, in the material world, people take shelter of so many. You go to the psychiatrist or whatever.
Drugs,
alcohol, different things. Fast driving for young kids, or the video games, movies, these things. All these are trying to forget the suffering, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. At the end of life, the same problem remains. I was just reading something from Satchinandan Swami. He wrote a nice little book called... it was Bhakti Rasayan, which is by Sanatana Goswami, but then he writes some little commentaries there. And one thing I found interesting in that book, he was saying that in this life, we have a certain obstacle that will come to us. And this obstacle is from our previous life, and we didn't solve it. So again, we're going to be faced with it in this life. Until we go beyond this obstacle, then it will keep coming to us. Anybody have this experience? That, you know, comes a point where there's just like a wall. It's like a big obstacle, and you can't deal with it, and you don't know what to do. But so this is the answer here. We have to somehow offer obeisances and surrender to Krishna. What verse in Bhagavad Gita would support this plan of action? Sarvadharma Pityaja, yes. Yes. Yes, mat chitta sarvadurgani, mat prasada karishyasi.
If you are conscious of me, then you will overcome all the difficulties.
You'll overcome all difficulties if you're conscious of me. And I was also thinking, yes? Daivihesh gunamai mama maya duratiya. My maya is very difficult to overcome. One who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. So remember our boat? What is our boat to cross the ocean? Krishna's lotus feet. Something in Sanskrit, do you remember anything?
It's compared to the size of...
So what is going to take us across, actually? What is it? Yes, yeah. What? Gunanu kirtanam, gunanu vardanam, uttama shloka, gunanu vardanam, something like that. Gunanu vadat. Uttama shloka, gunanu vadat. But you got the right idea, so yes. But that you're thinking of second chapter, but that's also true, gunanu kirtanam. Anu is very important. What does anu mean?
Following
parampara. We chant by following the predecessor acharyas, and we hear by following the predecessor acharyas. In parampara, we hear and we chant. And that is our boat to take us across the ocean of material suffering. So, she is thinking that the vision of the universe of form is caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not Krishna, of course, couldn't be Krishna. He could never do such a thing. So, somebody different from her son. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that actually she even rejected the last reason, that it's some mystic power of my son. Why? Because he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's naughty, and he's innocent. How could he have some mystic power? He's always hungry. He's always breaking pots. He's always stealing. How can he have mystic power? Not possible. So then, not finding any real cause, she offered respects to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the ultimate cause of all things beyond our comprehension, and prayed for his protection. Okay. Now we heard all that. Tell me, what are the four explanations Yashoda tried to give for the universal form? One? A dream. Two? Her intelligence is bewildered.
Just disease.
Disease. I don't think that was this time, but it was before. Oh, yeah, mental disease for her. Oh, that was what you said, yeah.
Illusion of the demigods.
Yeah.
And
Atmamaya, Krishna's mystic power. So, eventually she rejects all of them because it can't be her little son. 42. Now she's going to get philosophical. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking Nanda Maharaj is my husband, Krishna is my son, and because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. So now she's thinking, yes, actually, he is not my son, it's not my husband, and everything belongs to God. But not Krishna, that is Narayan again. So last purport, Prabhupada says, we should not be proud of our possessions. As expressed by Mother Yashoda herein, I'm not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj. The estate, the possessions, the cows, calves, and subjects, like gopis and cowherd men, are all given to me. Prabhupada says, one should give up thinking of my possessions, my son, and my husband. Janasya maho yamaham amiti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think I am existing or everything belongs to me. As Mother Yashoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, my endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless. The Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must therefore ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why is she disappointed? Why is she thinking, oh, I couldn't protect my son? Why is she thinking like that? Because, yeah.
She's trying her best.
I know. She's trying to protect him, but look now, look what happened this time. I'm protecting him, but he's got the universe in his stomach. You know, now what? Now what's going to happen next? First he becomes heavy, then he's stealing, and then he's doing all these things, and now the universe. I guess my charity didn't work. I guess my all these auspicious activities are useless. He's showing the universe now. What can I do to counteract this? That's how she's thinking. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Balasineha Sharanam Ptaro Nishingha. If father and mother cannot ultimately take care of their children, Atogiha Chetra Sutapta Vitar Janasimahoya Maham Mameti. One's land, home, wealth, and all of one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we wrongly think I am this and these things are mine. So, verse 43, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by influence of the internal potency, Yoga Maya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. So Krishna did not appreciate, just like Yashoda did not appreciate seeing the universal form, Krishna did not appreciate his mother's philosophical mood now. She's being so philosophical, now Krishna's not my son, you know, how's he going to get his milk? If she starts thinking like that. So purport, Prabhupada says, although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise. And thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya, Mohana Sadharmyan Mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees by the arrangement of the spiritual energy are captivated by Yogamaya. So what are some other examples of devotees getting bewildered by Yogamaya so far in our readings? Yes.
When Krishna took the form of that boy, of Gopi, that was Yogamaya.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, for Prabhavati, he took the form of her son. Yes.
And Devaki asked Krishna, please change back into the human child form. Mm. So that Kamsa may not find out about you.
Yes, so when Devaki was... Here she had Vishnu in front of her, and she was saying, please change into your child form. So she was bewildered by Yogamaya. She was offering these beautiful prayers, but at the same time, she was afraid Kamsa's going to come and kill him. So that's Yogamaya. What's an example of Mahamaya so far in our past times? Yes?
Kamsa.
One. Okay. Ladies first.
Raise your hands. He raised his. Yes.
So when Vidura left the palace,
Vidura, okay.
He saw the simultaneous action.
Simultaneous
of
action.
Yogamaya.
Mm-hmm.
Yogamaya
and Mahamaya.
Mahamaya, yeah. In the sense that Duryodhana was paving his way for hell,
right,
by insulting Vidura. And Yogamaya, in the sense that Vidura saw an opportunity to finally leave the palatial living and become a pilgrim.
Okay.
So it was simultaneous action.
So in the case of Kamsa, we know that she appeared as Yogamaya, as the daughter of Yashoda, How did she, how is it possible she could become Mahamaya for Kamsa?
She was yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was seeing her like that? What is any other reason why she became Mahamaya? Okay, because he was inimical to Krishna? Yes?
He would not be able to see Yogamaya.
Yeah, he was not qualified to see Yogamaya also. He could not touch Yogamaya, he could not see. Just like when Sita was captured by Ravana, when Sita was captured by Ravana, then it was not Yogamaya, it was Mahamaya who was Maya Sita. And so this happened with Kamsa, but now we are having an example of Yogamaya. It is not Mahamaya, because Mother Yashoda is completely in love with Krishna. So if you have prema, then you're under the control of Yogamaya. So let's see what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Discerning the truth in this way, Yashoda desired to give up her sense of possessiveness. But then the Lord, as a small boy, thought, who will cuddle and hold me? When Krishna thought in this way, Yashoda was overcome by the very form of affection for her son. The word mayim, putra sneha mayim, in this phrase means affection itself, namely prema in the form of parental affection, vatsalya bhav. The word mayam here indicates bewilderment. In other words, Yashoda became blinded by prema. So that's the kind of maya that we need to have, this yoga maya, become bewildered by love for Krishna, fear for Krishna. And so this is something that we have to work towards, of course. First, we have to go over the obstacle of the fear for ourselves, the fear for our own protection, the fear, all these fears, that whatever they may be, that come with having a material body, a material conditioning. And there's some built-in fears, there's built-in attachments, built-in anger with every material body. So, of course, by the process of devotional service, then we try to go past anartha nirvritti and get to the level of at least of anishta, which, and then after that it's very fast, then it's the fast track. Anartha nirvritti is the uphill struggle where we're having our obstacles and then we have to keep practicing devotional service and then surrender, and then finally Krishna will take pity on us. He will be merciful. He's always merciful, actually, but we just don't appreciate his mercy. We see it as something else. It's Maya. Maya is doing it, not Krishna. And here's an interesting thing by Jiva Goswami. The word Maya may also mean my mercy, which is the cause of intense love for me. My mercy. So Maya, another meaning of Maya is mercy of Krishna. This is mercy. This we also heard in the fifth canto. Atma Maya, by his causeless mercy. When he comes here out of his causeless mercy. My mercy, that's one point, which is the cause of intense love for me. And so if you appreciate the mercy of Krishna, that will cause you to love Krishna. Well, first we need that appreciation. So that's a change. It's just a change of consciousness that we have to make. Prabhupada says you can be Krishna conscious in a second, or it may take you millions of lifetimes. So that change of heart. 44. Immediately, forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. So Prabhupada said, after all this happened, then Yashoda said to Krishna, okay, just don't do it again. He ate dirt, and so she was still in that mood, and she said, just don't do it again. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Mother Yashoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of Yogamaya, like a dream, As one forgets everything after a dream, Mother Yashoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feeling of affection increased, she decided to herself, "Now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him." So first knowledge was there, but then it was covered by Yogamaya energy. Because if they knew who Krishna was, they couldn't have the sweetness of love that they do for him. They couldn't love him. As Krishna was thinking, "Oh, my mother won't cuddle me now and give me milk, so let her forget." Not like our forgetfulness. Our forgetfulness is of Krishna. That's our problem. Our problem is we're forgetting Krishna and everything's happening and we are the center and everything's happening to us. But actually Krishna is the center and that's the reality of life. So verse 45. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, literature Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So in the purport, last paragraph, Prabhupada explains this verse in terms of a sequence, the Vedas, Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. So first he starts with the Vedas. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to obtain vidya, knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. So step one, study the Vedas. Step two, then he advances further to study the Upanishads and gain Brahma Gyan and personal realization of the Absolute Truth. Then step three, he advances still further to Sankhya Yoga in order to understand the Supreme Controller who is indicated in Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma, Param Tama, Pavitam, Paramam Bhavam, Pusham Shastam, Divyamadi Devamajam Vibham. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in a method of yoga, Dhyana Vastita Tad Gatena Manasa Pashantiyam Yogina. And so here's Prabhupada, the step-by-step path is given in this verse, the Vedas, the Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga, and then other Vaishnava literature. But Mother Yashoda has surpassed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child, and therefore she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. But she is in such ecstasy that she does not care to understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her beloved child. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Yashoda's good fortune, as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramyaka chadupasana vajavatu vagenaya kalpita. The Absolute Truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yetamam Papadyante Tamstatayva Pajamiham Mama Varkman Vartante Vanusha Vartasarvisha. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Son of Pritap. One may be a Karmi, a Gyani, a Yogi, and then a Bhakta, or a Prema Bhakta. But the ultimate stage of realization is Prema Bhakti, is actually demonstrated by Mother Yashoda. So how does the Karmi realize God? Yes.
As the order supplier.
Order supplier. It's like a business. I do some worship and he gives me what I want. So he sees the Karmi sees the Lord as Santa Claus, as in the Christian. During Christmas you get all the presents and it's all given by God. He's very wonderful and he gives us everything we like and that's why I worship him. So how does the Gyani see? Adi?
Freedom.
Freedom. He's giving me freedom from this horrible, nasty material world. Yes. So, Karmi, Gyani, Yogi?
Cities.
I'm getting so much power. Almost like God. maybe people will believe that I'm God too. The yogis, they get their powers. Then the bhakta,
object of love.
I get
object of love.
Object of love. I get Krishna. What else, what does a prema bhakti, prema bhakta want? What was that?
The other thing is
that Sufis.
Suffering is.
Oh, suffering.
In the code of love.
Oh, yeah.
Suffering is what?
Suffering is the proof. Suffering is the proof in the court of law.
Suffering.
I was talking about something else. Sufis.
Sufis?
Yeah, Sufis. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lover of the Lord.
Whereas,
Well, what I get from that is, if we are the lovers, then we want Him to enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what He wants. So I think it can work both ways.
Yeah,
like if we actually love Him, then we want to be. We want Him to enjoy.
Yeah, we are the recipient of love. We are the ashraya.
Yeah.
Ashraya means.
Yeah, I was hearing a tape of Prabhupada, and he was saying, how do you show your love? How do you show that you love Krishna? And he gave a statement. So what's the answer to that? How do you show that you're a lover of Krishna? By service? Yeah, he was very specific about which service.
Distribution.
Yes, distribution of his name, actually. Mm-hmm. He said, if you really love Krishna, then you will want to spread His name all over the world. You want to spread His glories all over the world. That will show, this is a symptom of love, that you actually love Him, that you will. So we can't really have this relationship now of beloved child or like Gopi, Manjari, all these things. We can't have that right now as long as we're in the material world. And so how do we show our love for Krishna? How can we express our love? And that's what Prabhupada said. By preaching, by spreading His name all over the world. We can have these things, but then it will be something confidential, as Nectar Devotion describes. Within you may be having your relationship with Krishna, but outside you also follow the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. So, now, who says this? Jiva Goswami? No, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He says this verse 45 is Paribhasya Sutra of Krishna Lila. Paribhasya Sutra means the verse regulates all meanings of the scriptures. So this verse 45 of this chapter is a very important verse for Krishna Lila. So what does Vishnu Chakravarti say? He says, as a lamp sits in one place in a dark room and lights up the whole room, so that statement in the scriptures which can reveal the meaning of all scriptures or regulate the meaning of the scriptures is called the Paribhasya Sutra. This verse stands as a regulator for all the pastimes related to Aishwarya shown during Krishna's Kumara and Kaisara ages in Mathura, Kurukshetra and elsewhere. So here we saw a manifestation of Aishwarya, Leela, within the Braj. Inside Braj, which is the place for Madhurya Lila. So this verse regulates this. So what does the verse say? The glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, literature of Sankhya, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet, Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So the Madhurya predominates. So this is what this verse is saying, that although it's true that Krishna is understood through the Vedas, Upanishads, Sankhya, and other things, but Yashoda has this perception, and this is the highest. The highest is Yashoda's perception that Krishna is my son. Whatever he may be, whoever he may be, he's my son. Even if he shows the universe in his mouth, or even whatever he does, he's my son. I don't care if he shows the universe in his mouth. So, of course, Also, the Acharyas have said that what Krishna did show to Yashoda is what the realization of the Shanta Bhaktas are. That Krishna is in everything, he's all-pervading, and everything is in him. So this is the realization of the Shanta Bhaktas. So it's a bit of a step down from Mother Yashoda, but she couldn't accept that platform. And Krishna wouldn't let her stay on that platform. He wanted his mother back. He didn't want a philosopher for a mother. So this is what's happening here. And I had a thought. We're talking about Karmi, Gyani, Yogi, and Bhakta. There's also another hierarchy of realizations also described. I think it's in the Vedas, but we hear it. Prabhupada quotes it in Bhagavad Gita, one purport. There's five levels of realization. Yes. Anamaya, Pranamaya, Gyanamaya, Vijnanamaya, Ananamaya. So Anamaya means?
You relate to the absolute through your belly.
Through your belly. Your realization is food.
Food
is God. Pranamaya? Yes. Life symptoms. Yeah, life symptoms. So that means eating, sleeping, mating, defending.
Intelligence, discrimination.
Intelligence, discrimination. So what is? So what would be God for these people?
Manodharma.
Yeah, that is the second level, pranamaya? Or is that manomaya? Manomaya. What happened to pranamaya? Yeah, that's manomaya, yeah. Pranamaya is yeah, I'm asking pranamaya first. What is God for people on the pranamaya? Who is God? And the pranamaya?
Healthy body.
Healthy. Money, yes, money. Money is God. Money is God for these people because they want to eat nicely, sleep nicely, and defend, and have their nice apartment. And manomaya, mano, gyanamaya, the mind, I think, therefore I am.
That's manodharma.
Manodharma. So for them, what is the highest thing? For these people on the level of the mental level?
Liberation.
Intellectual, literature.
No, not liberation is next, vijnana. Yeah. Gyanamaya would simply mean music. Music is God. Music or arts, philosophy, poetry. Yeah.
Sculpture.
They're more in the mental level. Then we get to Vijnanamaya. So that's liberation. That's more like the Gyanis are on that fourth level. Anandamaya.
That's a blissful relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Anandamaya.
Yes, we want to love Krishna. We want to serve Krishna. So this is another way of looking at different levels of realization. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on these verses? Yes? What is the difference between...
Not difference, but between when we going out of Mahamaya and trying to get more influence of yoga, what is between?
Is there any region between?
Is there anything between yoga maya and Mahamaya?
We cannot jump to Kamsukina jump there.
Anything between yoga maya and Mahamaya?
It is the same.
There's nothing between, no.
There's a verse of Vishnu Purana, you know.
It's the same energy.
It's the same. It's what is it?
Tapakari Mishra.
Tapakari Mishra. If it's like the Shakti, and if we want to enjoy separately, Tapakari Mishra transforms into this Ladini Shakti will transform into Lini.
It's Ladini Shakti. The Shakti is Ladini. Yeah. If we want to enjoy, then we get Tapa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same.
Consciousness is different. That's the difference. That's why we are International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because we're trying to change the consciousness. The energy is the same, whatever we see. But how we see it is different. The consciousness with which we see, and that is Maya. Maya, if we see without Krishna or without relationship to Krishna, then that is seeing Maya. And if we see it, we see Krishna there, then it's Yoga Maya. We connect, yoga. Then we go, what was that you said? Difference between Mahamaya and Yoga Maya?
One is enhancing.
One is connecting, and what is disconnecting. Yoga Maya means to connect, and Mahamaya means to disconnect. So when we are disconnected, then we are experiencing the influence of Mahamaya. When we are connecting to Krishna, then we are experiencing Yoga Maya. Yashoda? There's no zero.
You know,
I went to the zero platform. I can tell you all about it.
It's not. That's just a demarcation line.
Yeah, well, it's.
When one comes to Brahma Bhuta and he realizes he's not the material, a part of the material body, but he hasn't moved over into the positive yet, would that be.
So you're questioning whether or not the Brahma Bhuta level is. Is under which one? Marginal, between one and the other. So your question is that we are marginal, so is it possible to be not under Yogamaya or Mahamaya? So means, is there a place where there is no, where we are just free floating and there is no influence of any Yogamaya or Mahamaya? That seems to be your question. Yes, but what is Nirvana? What is Nirvana? Nirvana is still in the kingdom of Mahamaya. You're not free. You're not free from your some of your karma. There's some still karma remaining there, even when you go to the Nirvana. And somebody, who was it? Umapati. He was quoting Srila Prabhupada about Nirvana. And he said, yeah, about the Buddhists who go to Nirvana. He says, yeah, they go take a bath in the Viraja River and come back. So that's their Nirvana. They go have a bath. And they come back. It's not eternal. It's not, because it's not our position. We're not meant for that. Yes. Dharmic consciousness is one of the four. It's one of the four goals: dharma, artha, kama, no, moksha.
So, is it in the realm of Maya or the
Dharma? Yes, it's in the realm of Maya, but you can connect it to Krishna. Dharma is one of the materialistic goals, and it is rejected from Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaita vatra, cheating. Cheating forms of dharma are rejected. Material dharma is rejected. And only the highest truth is given about Krishna. So according to Bhagavatam, dharma is rejected as material. But you can connect everything, and that's Bhagavatam is showing us how to connect dharma, artha, kama to Krishna. Kama, who is Kama? Is Kandar, what is that? Kardama Muni? He's worshipping Krishna. He wants to connect Kama. And Dhruva wants to connect Artha. And so these things can be connected. And then the result was Dhruva became a pure devotee. And Kardama renounced everything and became a sannyasi for the welfare of all beings. So we see in Bhagavatam these happy endings. In other Vedas, you may not see these happy endings. You may see them go to hell or something. Only Bhagavatam gives you the highest. In Bhagavad Gita also, it shows how to connect everything to Krishna. Karma, Gyan, Yoga, how to connect with Krishna. Especially in the 18th chapter, at the end, all of them are connected. Varnashram is connected. Gyan Yoga is connected. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. And then Yoga is connected, the yogis. So it's meant to be that way. It's not meant to be disconnected from Krishna. So, Krishna Sarupini, you have experience?
But for example, Kali and
Who?
Kalia?
Snake.
Yes. His Veda means he's supposed to be under yoga influence, yoga knowledge. After,
yeah, after he was protected. Right. So what's the example? Before he was in Mahamaya, then he became a devotee. His wives were devotees, and then after he got kicked by Krishna, he became a devotee. He realized Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's why his wives wanted to save him. They said, oh, our husband has become a Vaishnava. So we should... Before they weren't so...
But anyway, he was not able to stay in Yamuna. Poison was coming up.
Yeah, he had to move. He had to go to his place. He had to go. He could not stay. Even Brahma couldn't stay in Vrindavan. Brahma came, he offered his prayers, and he had to go back. He couldn't stay.
Even Lakshmi
can't stay. She's across the river. Uddhava? Yeah, Uddhava.
He was settled by Vata.
Well, he became a creeper. Yeah, he's there in the form of a creeper. Very humble position he took to stay in Braj. Who? Kalia became... It changed for Kalia. First he was Mahamaya, and then it changed when he became a Vaishnava. That's an example of how it changes. In the first canto, Prabhupada gives some symptoms how you can understand when you're changing from Mahamaya to Yogamaya. And in the first canto, in one purport, he was telling how the two energies are the same. And when you have the certain experience, he says, when you see how it's changing from Mahamaya to Yogamaya, then it shows in terms of your penance and repentance. You start feeling, oh, I'm sorry what I did. Penance, you do austerities, and then you have the feeling like, oh, I am guilty. Now, before that, we blame Krishna. Why is Krishna doing this? That? But now we realize, oh, I'm the guilty person. It was me who left. So then that's a symptom that you're changing from Mahamaya to Yogamaya, when you have this feeling of regret, repentance.
Mm-hmm. Does that last throughout the Yoga Maya platform, or does it just initiate?
It's a level of advancement. It's a level of advancement. You see the Acharya's songs, how they're lamenting, like, you know, Thakur, everybody's lamenting like that. So it's a level. And then when you go to the next level, you still lament, but it's on a higher level. It's more higher level, yeah. When you go to Braj, then you don't lament for your conditioning and your past things, but you, another lamentation, oh, Krishna is caught by Kalia. And then the center is actually more Krishna. Here it's more ourselves, oh, me this, I did that. And, but then it changes to Krishna in Braj consciousness.
So the lamentation over anxieties for him.
Yeah, yeah. Or when he leaves and you feel separation, and like that. Separation is also part of that. Lamentation. Adipurush?
This is about Yogamaya being the connection and Mahamaya the thing that disconnects.
Disconnecting.
It's coming from
2.9.34.
2.9.34.
Oh, yeah.
The right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relationship with the Lord is called Yoga Maya, or the energy of union.
Right.
Energy of union. And the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relationship with the Lord is called the Lord's Daivi Maya or Mahamaya.
Okay.
Both the Mayas also have connections with the Lord, because nothing can exist without being related to Him.
Right. So they're both connected. But Mahamaya makes it appear that you're disconnected.
And then Prabhupada gives a gem. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships from the Lord is not false, but illusory.
Oh, boy. So the conception of detaching is not false, but illusory.
It's the story of Lord and
Not false.
It exists.
It exists.
But it's illusory.
What exists? The conception of detaching?
Mahamaya.
Okay. Exists. Mahamaya exists, but it exists in the mind. It's all in your mind, right?
It's
illusory.
It creates an illusion. It doesn't last. It's a self.
Yeah. So an illusion exists. That's what exists. Mm-hmm. So what it exists when Maya is actually just an illusion, a magic trick, or...
This is Maya.
Yeah, Maya means to enjoy, want to enjoy separately from Krishna, or to think that you can enjoy, or that Krishna is not there, and that I am the enjoyer. So this is the illusion that we're all born with here in this world. Millions of births, very hard to get out of this illusion.
And the illusion also is to think we know what is illusion, but still be in illusion.
Right. We think we know, but we're still in illusion. Devakinan Prabhu?
In the verses we are reading, Krishna is from 2 months to 2 years old.
Yeah, he's 2 years now. When did he write Canto 10? What year did he write?
Oh. Sure.
Yes, Adi Purush, tell us.
He wrote it 2 times.
He wrote it twice.
Once he wrote it when he was after Krishna has disappeared.
So once was after Krishna's disappearance.
And then he met Narada Muni, and he re-edited the whole thing.
So after he met Narada Muni, he re-edited it.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
So when Krishna left the Earth planet that time, the time of the beginning of Kali Yuga, that time he wrote...
It's described in the first canon.
Yes.
And then second time?
Second time after he met Narada Muni.
And was that?
A little later.
Yeah. So he wrote it twice, after Krishna left the planet. Of course, it was there from the beginning of creation. If you read third canto, then from Brahma's mouth came the histories. So I was struck with that how the history could come before it happens. Usually history comes after it happens. But at the beginning of creation, the history came from Brahma's mouth. So history came before it happened.
Like Ramayana was written before.
Was it? Ramayana?
Yes,
was written before the Ramlila. Because it's eternal. Bhagavatam is eternal, Ramlila is eternal. Therefore, it can be written anytime. It's eternal Lila. Nitya Lila. It's not that it's a certain time. Of course, for us it's a certain time, 5,000 years ago. We see according to our consciousness, but actually his Leela is going on eternally. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.